Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في
أرض. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. And as history is a testament, and furthermore both friend and enemy have testified openly, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not tainted with any vices, unlike so many others who surrounded him and opposed him. He had a perfect faith in Allah, and so he acted according to his belief. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a lantern of guidance in his time, where the sunnah of the Holy Prophet had begun to be forgotten. Yet Imam Ali remained steadfast on the path of the pure Muhammadan Islam, like a solid, unshakable fortress in the middle of a great wild storm.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام أول عوض الحليم من حلمه أن الناس أنصاره على الجاهل.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "The first reward the exerciser of forbearance gets is that people become his helpers against the ignorant."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the context of the Ramadan war. So, dear listeners, we are speaking about the concept of jihad from Imam Ali alayhi salam's perspective. And of course, we're trying to connect all of these things with the Ramadan 2026 war. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, His Eminence, defined the battle between right and wrong as the separation of the ranks of faith from hypocrisy. Now, this is a very beautiful general rule that we have. And of course, when we have this ultimate battle between good and evil, this ultimate battle between right and wrong, this ultimate battle between those who support the truth, who support the ultimate reality, and those who oppose the truth and those who oppose the ultimate reality. And this is a major concept or a major ideological and philosophical principle that we see throughout the ages of humanity. And so there has always been this battle between right and wrong. And of course, in this battle between right and wrong, one of the things that happens is that the ranks of faith are separated from the hypocrites, or it is separated from hypocrisy. And so it's interesting here that we find hypocrisy, because innately it is empty, it is fake, it is not real, it is a facade, it is a mirage, it is a masquerade of what is really within. So when times become tough and the time to shed blood or spend wealth comes around, then that mask tends to fall off, and that hypocrisy is then laid bare. It's interesting, even in this recent Ramadan 2026 war, we find that the many of the masks that the arrogant powers of the world, that the collective West, that America had put on their face, and even Israel, the Zionist regime, had put this mask of so-called democracy and freedom and civility, this mask has fallen off, especially after the October 7th Al-Aqsa storm. And as time continues, those masks of civility and those masks of civilization keep on falling off, and the very savage and barbaric nature and reality of these powers is being shown more and more every single day. I mean, just as a case in point, we find that the threats of the American president against the civilian infrastructure of the Islamic Republic of Iran, or even against the whole civilization of Iran, talking about how the American president is going to, you know, bomb them back to the Stone Age. This really reveals the savagery, extreme violence that these countries and these governments represent, and then these powers represent. And it has been laid bare for everybody to be able to see. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam had said. He first and foremost defined the battle between right and wrong, truth and falsehood, and that, of course, it separates the ranks of faith from hypocrisy. A very interesting lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And this is where we see that Amir al-Mu'mineen now had to even deal with the Muslims whose self, you know, the selfishness and the greed was coming up. Not only that, actually, when we look at the example of how, and this is where I would like to come to the issue of respecting the women and children in this state of war. The biggest challenge for Ali in Basra was how would he deal with the issue of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, who had been used by Talha and Zubayr as a slogan, you know, to galvanize the people against Amir al-Mu'mineen. After the forces of Ali defeated the forces of these people who had betrayed the Bay'at in Basra at that time, Amir al-Mu'mineen called Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, biologically he belongs to Abu Bakr, but spiritually he was son of Ali, raised by Ali. One of the strongest supporters early days in the Shia history is Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. So he's half brother of, from his mother's side, half brother of Abdullah bin Ja'far, the husband of Zainab. And so he's also step-brother of Aisha from the father's side. So he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen called him and he said, go to the camel and the litter which was on it, the canopy with everything, curtain and parda, everything was there. He asked Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, go to her, salaha, halawasa ilayha shay'un min al-rima wa siham. Go and ask her, did any of the spears or the arrows reach her? Is she okay or she has been injured? So he, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, goes to Aisha. He said, who is this? This is, he said, well, I'm your brother. And he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen is asking this question, are you okay or you've been injured? She said, I'm okay, just one arrow actually touched my head and just passed away. And I leave Allah to decide between me and you. So Muhammad bin Abi Bakr says, you know, if you really want to talk about Allah, I will let Allah decide between you and Amir al-Mu'mineen for what you have done. You're not supposed to leave your home. You came all the way here. You actually encouraged the people against, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen by coming all the way from Medina to Basra. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, so Muhammad bin Abi Bakr then comes to Ali and says, this is, you know, she's okay. So then Ali now says to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, take her to Abdullah bin Khalaf's home. She will stay there until we decide what to be done with her. What does Ali do with her? It's very important for us when we talk about Karbala, 50 years after the wafat of Rasulullah, the seerah of Rasul continued by Ali is one thing. And what Muslims had done and God became so corrupted was something else. Here Ali is dealing with a lady who is actually leader of the rebels. He actually decided and called 40 women and asked them to put on the men's headgear and the helmet of the soldiers and asked them to actually put on the belt with the swords. And he says, you 40 of them dressed like men, at least, you know, people wouldn't realize they're women. You will go with her to protect her in her caravan all the way to Medina. Be on her right and the left and behind. Now, the point here is very interesting. When Ali asked 40 women to do this, it's not that, you know, just randomly he picked people or women. It means we don't know much about it. But among the Muslims, there was a system that even women would be trained that if they are needed, they will be capable of handling themselves in battlefield. So it means there was a system where there were women who could do such kind of job.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.